In June of this past year, the priests of our diocese were in Wichita for a retreat. And I really can't remember what day of the retreat it was or exactly where I was, but I know I was praying one of the Psalms. And something in that Psalm touched me very deeply. And what I realized from reading that psalm, or those few lines in the psalm, I should say, was that God was asking me to come back to the parish and focus on one thing, and that is prayer. To focus on how can we enrich, how can we nourish, how can we strengthen the prayer life of this parish community. Since then, a couple other things have happened. One of them was Deanna Jones had shown me a book, an excellent book, by the way, on spousal prayer, praying together as couple. And I decided I wanted to order some more copies of that book. Well, as I was doing that, I found another book that looked just like it, but a different title, called The Parish, A School of Prayer. And that caught my attention right away because that line, that a parish should be a school of prayer, was a line written by Pope John Paul II sometime before the year 2000, matter of fact, in his letter preparing for the year 2000. And at the time I'd wondered, how does one do that? How does one transform a parish into a school of prayer? So I ordered the book, and it's wonderful, and it's short too. That's good. Then, about 2 weeks ago, maybe three now, I think it was two, I was listening to the Catholic radio station one Monday on my day off. And there was another book that it mentioned. And the book is called Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer by Thomas DeBay. And so I ordered it on my Kindle. And it's a wonderful book. And so what I want to say to you today kind of comes out of that history. That history of focus on prayer. In the gospel today, Jesus says, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it was already blazing. What did he mean? Well, one interpretation of that which kind of resonates with me is that if you go to the Acts of the Apostles, which is also written by Luke, when the Spirit comes down upon the disciples, he comes down with the sound of a mighty wind and as of tongues of fire. Could that blazing that Jesus talked about, could that be his desire for the Spirit? To go out and transform the world. Set the world on fire with faith in and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look back into the history of our church, you'll find out that's exactly what happened in those first four centuries. Especially in the fourth century, the world was ablaze, the known world at least, was ablaze with faith in Christ Jesus. There were 120 people in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. Into the fourth century, that faith had transformed the world. They were ablaze with faith in Christ Jesus. And what I want to say today is that Jesus wants that same blaze to be burning powerfully in our own time. He wants that blaze of faith to go out and transform this world. Think about the blaze that is going on right now in Utah. The fires going on throughout the western part of this nation. They're almost unstoppable. He wants our faith to go out and transform the world like that. We are called to that. That is the mission we receive in baptism. We are called to transform the world through our faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. But the only way you and I can do that is by the holiness of our lives. I must live a holier life. We must live holier lives. If we do not live in holiness, we will not transform this world. But if our lives are truly holy, if people can look at us and say, there's something different about them. I want what they have. I want their joy. I want their goodness. I want their honesty. I want their compassion. If they can see that in us, they will want it for themselves too. We come to holiness of life through prayer. As the title of the book says, deep prayer. You know, God intends more for us than just praying about our health, praying about the weather, praying about our family finances. Those are all good things. I don't want to knock them. But God wants more for us. God wants our prayer to be a time of personal communion with Him, a time that we come to know how deeply we are loved. You know, God loves us. But sometimes I tend to think we see that, well, He just loves everybody, but He doesn't have much time for Ted. No. God loves each and every one of us. And we need to come to know that. We need to come to experience that. And we only experience that through time in God's presence, silence, being with Him. Open our hearts to Him. There can come a point in our lives where we no longer force ourselves into prayer, but we yearn for it. When we begin to experience God's love, then we want to be with God. We cherish those moments rather than dreading them and avoiding them. There's one thing is required. We have to come to know our need for God. We have to come to know that we are absolutely, utterly dependent upon God. And that's hard for us. Years ago, a movie, I have no idea what movie it was. There was this line, it was a Western, and this old man stops and he says, God, I don't bother you very often, but I need something now. And I got thinking about that. God wants us to bother Him often. God wants us to show our need for Him. God wants us to acknowledge that everything we are and everything we have is His gift to us. and that without him we can do nothing, we are nothing. When we know that need for God, then we can come in deep prayer, because everything comes to us from the hands of God. God wants a total gift of ourselves to him. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Just think about some of the lines of Scripture, lines we all know. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You cannot be my disciples if you do not take up your cross and follow me. Luke adds, each day. He who saves his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Jesus taught us that God is asking for the totality of our being. God is asking us to offer ourselves to him completely, totally, to make of ourselves a gift to him. He wants us to do that so he can transform us and bring us to a life that will never end. I know there are some that will say, well, this is fanaticism, religious fanaticism. Did not Jesus teach us to expect that kind of opposition? Isn't that part of what the scripture's about this morning, the gospel, when he said, I come not for peace, but for division? If we choose Christ, if we choose to give our lives to him, there will be some who oppose us. There'll be some who say we are fools. But choosing Christ is our way to life. That is what we're called to choose Christ Jesus as our way to life. There's a tendency, I think, in most of us, maybe all of us, to look for a comfortable way to live our faith. You know, a way that we can say, yeah, I'm doing good, but where it don't cost us too much, you know, too much inconvenience, don't cost us to be too different than the world around us. Just kind of live our faith in a way that doesn't make any waves. But that's not what Jesus is asking of us. He's asking total commitment. Jesus calls us to give our lives to him so that he can give life to us, a life that will never end. That one book I was reading, Deep Conversion, Deep Prayer, there was a quote, and I don't know if it exactly fits into the homily here, but I want to share it anyway, because it struck me a lot. It comes from Bernard of Clairvaux. I don't know if you know much about Bernard of Clairvaux. I think he was about a 13th century saint. Well, Bernard, as a young man, decides to go to the monastery. And the monastery he chooses to go to is a dying monastery. I mean, there's no life there. But he goes knocking on the monastery door with a following of 30 people. 30 members of his family and his friends join the monastery with him. 4 years later, he's made the abbot of the monastery. This dying monastery begins to go out and start new monasteries. Bernard was a man of vision. He was a counselor to kings and to popes. This is what he said. This line really struck me because there's a lot of truth in it. He said, there are more people converted from mortal sin to grace than there are religious converted from good to better. That tendency towards mediocrity, living our faith not to make waves, getting by, Jesus calls us to intimate oneness with him. Jesus calls us to have his life within us, to know how much we're loved. But in order to do that, we got to give the gift of ourselves. And if we give him the gift of ourselves, he will give us the gift of life. Life that will know no end.